You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award winning boutique wealth manager. I've got an article in front of me. It was published on BizNews. Its author is Sonia Duplessis, who's with me, and we'll come to Sonia in a moment. But the headline is Women Live Longer. Do your retirement finances reflect to that? And this is very interesting. It's a subject that it's not emotive, but it certainly has lots of different opinions associated with it. Just let me read you the introduction to the article. And it says the following. Let me ask you something. If your partner weren't around tomorrow, would you know how to access your retirement accounts? Would you know what you're invested in, how much risk you're taking, or how long the money is meant to last? For many women, the honest answer is simply no. And that's not because you're careless, it's because financial planning all too often becomes the responsibility of just one person. And that's usually still the man. You trust him, you've built a life together, you have peace of mind that there is enough life and disability cover for when the unfortunate might happen. Maybe there's a retirement annuity. And so it goes on. We get the picture. We understand, Sonia, that women are, this is maybe a harsh way of saying it, but in the financial services industry, historically, have been sort of second-class citizens, if you like.
Yeah. Hello, Lindsay, and hello to your listeners.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is a topic very close to my heart. And I think, you know, it's not to sort of like label husbands or men out there that they are not taking care of their wives or their partners. You know, it's the contrary. You know, often when I see men that's in a partnership or married, their priorities are to take care of their wives. And they often will say, listen, I know the statistics are against me. I know that I will most likely pass away first. I want to take care of my wife. So this article is more about bringing to light why are women often, why have they not made enough provision for retirement compared to men? And yeah, so we touch on a couple of things.
Well, just before you do, yes. I mean, to my mind, as a man who's not particularly diligent when it comes to financial planning, the impression that I get is that over the decades, what has happened is that when certain products were formulated, mainly men sat down and said, right, this is what is going to happen. The South African nuclear family is the man going out to work, the woman staying at home looking after the children, and that's that. And therefore, the product must reflect that societal norm. Is that the case, or have things changed, or are things changing, Sonia?
No, it's still exactly that. And that's spot on, Lindsay. So if you look at the sort of like, if someone asks me, like man or woman, how much is enough? What's the formula to have a comfortable retirement one day? And I mean, you probably know this formula, but it's where you have to save 15%. And this is just a guideline. So sort of like 15% of your gross salary in your 20s for the next 40 years, then you'll be able to retire with a salary 75% of your salary one day. I hope that makes sense. But yeah, anyways, for ladies, this formula gets interrupted. So this formula doesn't take into account maternity leave. You know, the formula says you've got to save for a period of 40 years. And women often take a break, maybe 10 years raising children, doing a part-time job while taking care of the kids, doesn't take into consideration a pay gap. And the other thing, Lindsay, is that ladies overall are more cautious with their financial planning, cautious in the sense that they don't like to bring in so much risk, market risk, compared to men. And at the end of the day, fast forward 40 years or 60 years to retirement, the ladies often do not have enough retirement funds compared to men. And I think we touched on a couple of reasons now why why that happens.
Well, so we'll talk about that specifically, the different way that men and women invest and look at markets. But just going back to maternity leave, I saw a program on Scandinavia the other night on the BBC, and it was quite astonishing that it's not just maternity leave, but there's also paternity leave. And if a couple has a baby in Sweden, for example, they get 480 days maternity paternity leave, fully paid by the government.
Nice.
480 days.
Sure, that's more than a year.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's amazing.
It's quite extraordinary. Yeah. In South Africa, that's never going to happen, unfortunately. Certainly not in our lifetimes. But anyway, women live longer than men, and the statistics are that they outlive men by 4 years. Again, I was watching the BBC, and there was a program about old people and loneliness, etc. And most of the people that were interviewed were women, Sonia. Women were the ones left carrying the can, if you like.
So, like you said, I mean, statistically, on a global basis, women will live longer 4 years compared to men. And in some countries, you know, it's at least 10 years. So it is a real problem, and it's a real issue that women and men should take note of. But you know, we often tell ladies, you know, how can you turn this around? How can you not become one of the statistics one day? And one of the important things is that I've mentioned here in the article is, you know, stay in the room. Like don't, if your husband goes and sees a financial advisor, go with. Don't sort of like put it on the back burner and think that, you know, one day I'll look at our finances. Be a part of the conversation. And it's not like in the older days where the husbands didn't want the wives to be a part of the financial discussion. I think these days men would welcome their wives to sort of like know what's potting and what's happening. So and ask questions. You know, tell your husband, I want to go with. I want to know what's happening in our finances. I want to like meet the financial advisor. I want to learn more about our financial situation overall. So yeah, I think
it's the call it the Bri syndrome, Sonia. Sorry to interrupt you. It's the Bri syndrome. You go to a Bri, and in my mind, there's a load of blokes sitting around or standing around the Bri talking about rugby and the JSE, and the women are sitting around a table sipping on a delicious drink, talking about children and jam making, for example.
Yes.
I mean, it's an extreme, I know, but it still exists in certain areas, doesn't it? And certainly in finances. So in other words, take an interest. Women must take an interest in what is going on and say, no, I don't understand that. And don't be afraid of saying you don't understand or I don't agree with that, even better.
Exactly. So like, be a part of the conversation. Don't put it on the back burner. And the more involved you get in those conversations, the easier it's going to get and the more familiar you are going to get with it. And the other thing that ladies should try and do is even if you take a break, you know, even if it's just like a 5 year break to raise children, or maybe even just a 4 month break, or maybe a 10 year break, then even more so, I almost feel like you have to be part of that conversation with the husband. Like what's happening with my retirement or our retirement one day? Can I not, like, how is the household going to contribute to my retirement savings one day? And like I mentioned, Lindsay, this is often a big concern for the husbands as well. You know, they want to make sure that their wives are taken care of. And it's not something that they are trying to shy away from. And one easy way to do it is like just keep on contributing to your retirement savings or to any investment account, even if it's a small amount. You know, you've got the power of compound growth that we can talk days about, but keep on contributing to something that's in your name. That will lighten the burden in the sense that your husband will know that there's something being saved for you, and you will also have peace of mind that
so this has got to be separate to any other investments. You're talking about women saving, but women saving for their own account as completely separate to the financial plan that's already in place.
I think so, Lindsay. I think gone are the days where everything is built up just in the husband's name, you know, the sort of like if you go into a scenario where the wife is just raising kids and not working, something should be built up in the wife's name as well. And for multiple reasons, you know, if something should happen to the husband, if he passes away first, if you have nothing in your name, you're going to battle to even pay the bills at the end of the day. So I think if you take a break from the working environment, like you have to keep on saving towards your retirement, even if it's just a small amount.
Okay, that's good advice. You say in point number three, and know what's yours and how it works. Again, don't let your partner say, oh, no, it doesn't matter, don't worry about it, you're taken care of. You want to know how you're being taken care of, I would have thought, because just because he has been advised by the financial advisor that this particular asset class should be 40% and not 25% doesn't mean that's correct, and you have to have an input, I would have thought.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And if there's trust involved and companies, you know, family businesses, know the structures, know how the trust is set up, who the beneficiaries are, who the other trustees are. And sometimes these financial structures come from the wife's side. I mean, you might be a beneficiary on a trust from your family. So it's not to say that everything is going to come from the husband's side, but the long and the short is if there's other financial instruments, you know, in the family dynamics, like a trust or a company, you have to know what's potting there. You have to know who beneficiaries are, who the trustees are, what's in your name, what's in his name. And that's very important to stay very close to those structures and how it's set up.
And it gives you peace of mind as well, Sonia. The last thing you need is if, heaven forbid, your partner suddenly passes away and the financial advisor comes around and you sit down and he or she says to you, well, actually, you've got to do this because he didn't do that and the implications are this. You don't want that sort of mess during such a stressful time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it puts so much pressure on a wife if the husband passes away unexpectedly and she doesn't know what's happening where. So it's critical to stay part of that conversation.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to keep on with the death theme now because you've got to update your will, Sonia, you say, and also review your partner. It's also terribly important if the husband is going to die first.
Yes, yeah. Oh, Lindsay, that's also something that we do hop on quite a bit, but often it's, you know, husband will sort out his will, but will forget about sorting out his wife's will, or the wife just doesn't think about it. But I think if you work with a good financial advisor, that person will touch on this subject automatically and will make sure that even if the wife isn't sitting in the meeting, you know, will touch on it and tell the husband, listen, does your wife also have a will? So it is such an important document to sort out.
Yes, and it's often ignored, whether it be in the context of this conversation or any other time. People just don't like talking about it. I know I don't. You say work with someone who sees you, not just your partner. Get a third party, and whether it be a financial advisor or somebody that you know is successful and you know that is financially savvy, just ask that person's advice, whether it be a man or a woman, Sonia.
Yeah, I think so, Lindsay. I think it's if you're going to be part of the whole financial discussion in terms of your household, it's important that you as the wife are also comfortable with the financial advisor. And your husband should actually want that for you. So both of you should be comfortable with that advisor. And I think it's, you know, it's important to see an advisor. It's important for that advice. If, for example, if you're a woman and you don't like to bring in risk in your investments, the advisor will guide you to slowly but surely bring in the growth assets. So very important to work with an advisor and with someone that you're comfortable with.
And also you can read up on various websites about the very subject that you've been tackling today, Sonia. I imagine there's an enormous body of information. So if you don't want to see somebody and you don't want to appear ill-informed, just read up about it as well before you go and see somebody. Okay,
yes.
You say lastly, you're in a financial relationship, not just a romantic one. And that's an unfortunate fact of life, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's the hard fact. So I mean, none of us, you know, you don't get married to get divorced one day, but it's so important to know that even though the relationship started off as a romantic relationship, it You know, it is, if you get married, then it turns into a romantic as well as a financial relationship. So, and I think men and women often do not think about that. So they don't realize that they're in a romantic one as well as a financial relationship as well. So know how you are married, you know how does it work to be married in community of property, out of community property, with accrual, without accrual, all those things, and how that will affect you, you know, with death, divorce, those things that will definitely happen to you in life.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you if you think that women invest differently to men. I mean, it would be great to do an example and have some sort of virtual experiment at Brenthurst to say, right, here's 100,000 Rand or whatever the figure is, a million. I'm going to give a million to a woman and a million to her husband or partner, and see at the end of 3 months, 6 months, whatever the period is, and see how they invest it. I would imagine there'll be material differences, and I would lean towards women being more responsible and less sort of gung-ho, as they say in English. In other words, going out there and say, well, I heard this bloke, he's made a fortune on NVIDIA or whatever AI stock it might be. And the woman says, no, well, wait a second, it's a little bit pricey. Is that what happens? Have you found that women are very different in that regard?
No, definitely, Lindsay. And I think it brings, in a way, it brings a nice balance into a household. So you'll have the woman, almost the ladies, being more responsible with the money, and they do not want to take on so much risk, where with the men, they'll bring in all the riskier assets, but portfolio will be a lot more volatile. But at the end of the day, the two will balance each other out. But you have to then bring in a financial advisor to sort of like just overlook the whole package, because, you know, you don't want to be, depending on the age group of the husband and the wife, for example, it's just got to balance out at the end of the day. And if you're in a situation, for example, where the husband has passed away and everything went over to the wife's name, you can't now sort of like stick to the wife's risk profile where everything is low risk. Then you've got to bring in more riskier assets, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Yeah. Okay, well done. I can sense that you're quite passionate about this, and you're probably insisting, or rather suggesting, when you're consulting a couple, that it is a couple and not just the man. Yeah. There's one thing we should end on, and it's an old English proverb, and it goes like this. When poverty knocks at the door, love flies out the window. And that was, you talk about relationship being financial as well as romantic. So anyway, very good advice, Sonia. And I hope your future clients and existing ones listen to it. Sonia Duplessis is from Brenthurst Wealth. And that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.